Good evening, and we are close to Hanukkah. Across the spectrum of the Torah world, I think that many Orthodox Jews often refer to the Holy Tana Rebbe Meir as Rebbe Meir Bal Hanes. Rebbe Meir, the one who has done the miracle. And I can imagine that probably most people here at some point in time have lost something that they wanted to find, whether it's car keys, a book, something. And perhaps you have given tzedakah, and then what have you done next? You have davened that, Elka de Meir Aneni, that the God of Rebbe Meir should answer me. We're familiar with this? Yes? Does anybody not know what I'm talking about? Anybody over there on the screen? No? We all know what I'm talking about? Can you hear me? Good. So, we're familiar with this, that you give tzedakah in the name of something to do with Rebbe Meir, something to do with Rebbe Meir in some form. And what I want to discuss tonight is the source of that minhag. Why do people do this? What is it supposed to be? Are you davening to Rebbe Meir Bal Hanes? What was the miracle that he's involved in? And really, it's underlying and very significant connection to Hanukkah. You have here in front of you a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Bruria de Bisayhu de Rebbe Meir. Bruria was the wife of Rebbe Meir, Bruria of school fame, a famous knowledgeable lady in the Gemara, was the wife of Rebbe Meir. Birsei de Rabbi Chanina ben Tarajon Chazay. And she was also the daughter of Rabbi Chanina ben Tarajon. Very impressive family, Yichus, the wife of Rabbi Meir, and the daughter of Rabbi Chanina ben Tarajon. Amra lo, Bruria said to her husband Rabbi Meir, Zila be milsa de yasva achasai. Says, my sister is sitting in disgrace. Bekuba shalzonos. Apparently she had gotten into a bad situation, she'd been captured in some form, and she was being held captive in, let's just say, a not appropriate situation for a young Jewish girl. So Rabbi Meir said, I have to take care of it. Shakel tirkava dedinari v'azel. He took three containers of gold, and he went to go to try to fix the problem, to get his sister-in-law out of the situation she was in. Also, Lagabe Shomer Didei. So he went and found the guard who was guarding the place where she was being held captive. Amalei Hava Nihila. So Rabbi Meir said to him, come, let me go take out the daughter of Yechinim and Tarajon, you know, let's just take care of this and let's take her out of jail. Amalei Mistefina Mimalchusa. So the guard said, I'm very scared of the government. If they find out I let a captive go, so I'm going to be in trouble. So Amar Le Rav Meir said, Shokol tirkava de denire palga palachu palga lavelach. He says, take the three containers of gold, and you'll split it when they capture you, right? And it'll be fine. You'll have a tax, you'll have some sort of a bribe to get out of it if something happens to you. Amar Le, so he said to Rabbi Meir, Mechishalme mai avid. So he says, when the money is, what am I going to do when the money's out and we've used the money up? So, and after it's done, what's going to be with the money afterwards? So, Amar Lei, Eima Allah Demeir Aneni Umisalatsta. So he says, if you use up the money before the government captures you, so you should say, Elka Demeir Aneni, the God of Meir should answer me. And that will set you free. So Amar Lei, he said to him, Umeyemar Dahava Ika. So he says, that's very cute, but how do you know it's going to work, right? It's like I gave you, here's the magic trick, but it's not going to work when you're here. So how do I know it's going to work? So Amar Le Hashta Chazis. So Rebbe Meir said here, watch this. Habohanu Kalbe Dehava Ka'achli Inshi. He says there were man-eating dogs that were right there, the guard dogs that were terrible, terrible dogs. Shakel Kalashari Behu. And Rebbe Meir took something and he threw it at them. Habukasu lemichle, and they came and they were going to come and eat it and attack him. And the mayor said, Amar elka demer aneni, he used that expression, shavkua, and the dogs left him alone. So he showed that the trick worked. If you said this tefillah, they would take care of things. Fine, so the shomer sees that it works. Yehavalei, so the guard gives Rabbi Meir, the daughter of Rabbi Chanina ben Tarajom, lesof ishtama milsa be'milk. At the end, so they found out what had happened, that the Shomer had freed the daughter of Rabbi Chanina ben Tarajom. Isua asuka lezikifa. They came and wanted to hang him. Amar, and the Shomer said, Elko de Meir aneni. the god of Meir should answer me. Achsua, and he came down from the gallows. Amarle, my high. So he said to him, why did that work? So Amarlehu, hachi havemaisa. So he told him, well, this guy was Meir, and he came and took his daughter, and he told me this trick, and he told him the whole thing of how he got to the situation. Also, so at the end of the day, Asu Chachu de Muse, the people went and they put up a picture of a mayor, de Meir Asicha de Roma, at the gates of Rome, saying like a wanted picture, you got to find this guy, he's in deep trouble. And Amr Kalhavi de Partsufa Hadendalaisi. And whoever sees this person should come. And then the Gemara goes on to talk about how a mayor was saved, and that's the episode. But this is the source. This is the famous source that if you lose something, you should say Elka de Meir, and then you should daven to the god of Rabbi Meir, so to speak. And that will save you, and you'll be fine. The Chida has a commentary on the Gemara called the Pesach Einayim, and he says that this is the source, that if a person has a tzara, a person has a difficulty, they have a custom of saying Elka de Meir Aneni, and to give stuck in his memory. And he writes in another Sefer the Marasayin, the Chida says that the tefil only works through Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir said this would work. He has the Kavanah that it would work. It doesn't work Elka de Rabbi Kiva Aneni, it doesn't work Elka de Rabbi Yochanan Aneni, it only works Elka de Meir Aneni. Because he gave us this promise that it would work if need be. Now, it's brought as well by the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai in Parshas Re'eh says, "Kesha'adam bitzara muto lidor lechadchil." If a person is in danger, the Ben Ish Chai goes on to talk about making a promise of money when you're in a difficult situation to help you out. Because of B'Sheva Rama, they write in the name of the Rama Vipanu, which we'll talk about in a moment. Shiyomra Noda Elka Demeir Anein. If you say this and you give money, V'yechavin L'Kavana Shiyechavin R'Meir Balanes, and you have the same Kavana that R'Meir Balanes had at that time, Be'esh Amar L'Sar Be'Sasar, so you'll be saved if you just say, you know, whatever R'Meir did, if it works for him, let it work for me too. Like whatever he's doing, you know, I want some of that too. I want a piece of that. And that'll work for you to help you on the situation. Now, what's the connection to the lost objects, though, right? We know, fine, we all agree that you should say this tefillah to Rabbi Meir, the god of Rabbi Meir, something like that, when something's bad. But what does that have to do with lost objects? Because I think that's where most of us ascribe this tefillah to, the case of a lost object. I think the answer is actually the Medrash. I didn't see anybody else say this, but I think this is what the answer is. The Medrash in Bereishis says, "Kumi siyas hanar v'yifkach eseneha." The Malach tells Hagar, when Yishmael is dying by the bush, underneath the bush, to go and pick him up, and there's water. And what does it say? Vayifkachas, and then he opened up her eyes. Amar Rabbi Binyamin, hakol becheska sumen. He says, everything is assumed to be hidden. Ad shekadosh baruch hu meir esaneim, until Hashem opens up your eyes. Min ha-hacha, from here, vayifkach elohim esaneha. Meaning, the water and the well of water was always there in front of Hagar. But what happened? She couldn't see it until Hashem opened up her eyes. It was there the whole time. Hashem didn't make a well appear. The well was there the whole time, but he opened up Hagar's eyes to see what was going to happen and to see what was really there the whole time. But look at the lashon of the Medrash. Ad she'kadosh baruch hu meir es einehem. That's what it means. Elka de meir aneini. Hashem who will enlighten our eyes and show me that lost object that is in fact there should answer me. I'm pretty sure... I'm going to go on a limb and say, I'm pretty sure that's the connection. That's exactly what's the connection going on over here. The combination of davening and saying, Elka Demeir Aneini, if a person's Be'ez Tzara, and at the same time, the idea of being mayor, opening up our eyes to the reality that is already there. That your car keys did not walk off. Your car keys are in the same place they were before. You just either have a poor memory, or you're so flustered you can't remember where it is, but the object you needed was there the whole time. Good. We're good so far? So that is the simple understanding of the situation. I want to show you now a comment to the Maharsha. And this comment to the Maharsha is going to give us a different perspective on what's going on over here. The Maharsha on this Gemara asks a very important question. And he says, V'yesh l'daktig, ha'yich yichid Rabbi Meir shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu asma b'chayev. What's your initial issue with what Rabbi Meir did? It seems a bit what? Come on. Don't be embarrassed. What did he say? It seems a bit chutzpahdik, no? A bit of a bal gaiva, right? He says, oh, my God, you know, you should answer me in my name. We don't really find it anywhere. So the Marsha is bothered by that as well. He says, this is a Rashi in Bereishis and Perek Lamed Aleph. that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't is not miyachid shmo. He doesn't attach his name to tzaddikim in our lifetimes. We don't. He's not called Elokei Avram in Avram's lifetime. It's after Avram dies. It's not Elokei Yitzhak in his lifetime. It's after Yitzhak dies. It's a bit much. It's like, oh, me and Hashem, we're buddies. Like, you know, we're going to be fine. So the Marsha gives two answers. He says the first is Eishlomar Delo Amar Elka Demeir Aneni. He only said this Rak L'Simon Ba'alma Al Shmo. V'lo Niskaven Kol Ikar Al Shmo. He wasn't talking about his name. He was saying it's not when we say Elka Demeir Aneni. It's not Rebbe Meir. It's Elka Demeir who enlightens. Rak Niskaven Elka Demeir La'aretz L'darim Aleha Hu Yanenu. The pasuk Hameir La'aretz U'L'darim Aleha, who enlightens the land and for those who live there. So again, the Marasha is going in the school of thought that it's not Rebbe Meir, it's Meir, to enlighten, to open up our eyes when we use such an expression. But now let's connect it to Chanukah. Listen to this. O Sha'amar, or you are saying, Elka de Meir, the God who brings light, Lanu b'malchus Yavan, amongst the kingdom of the Greeks, HaKodemes b'neis haneres shel Chanukah, that preceded the lights of the miracle of Chanukah, says the Marasha. That is what you're saying. The God who brought light in the days of the Greeks and had the lights last for 8 days, that God, you should answer me now. Kmo sheyiseid hapayet, as the poet writes, umiyeir lachameir hu yanenu lahatzel son of Anais midehem. But what's he talking about? What's this poem? This poem, which I brought the piece for you on the page, is written by Rav Ephraim ben Rav Yitzchak of Ronsberg, who is a German rabbi. He was a friend of Rabbeinu Tam, the same time as Rabbeinu Tam. And this piyut, this poem, is called a ma'ora. What's a ma'ora? So I'm going to go into the woods a little bit about tefillah, because I think you should know this about tefillah, because none of you do this, and none of you will probably ever do this, but we should not lose the knowledge of this is how people used to daven in the past. The story is as follows. There are different piyutim, there are different poems that for generations, centuries, were recited by Ashkenazim in davening. You are more familiar with these poems from Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, because most likely your shul does the following. After you begin Birchas Kriyat Shema, you'll say, Yotzer o Baruch Hoshech Osa Shomer Esakol. They'll say that thing at the beginning, the Chazal will say that. And then your shul will begin furiously flipping pages. 6 pages at a time, 8 pages at a time, until you get to the next part where the letters are big and not really, really tiny. What is that? You are skipping what essentially is called Yotzros. You are skipping poems that have been recited by Ashkenazim for centuries. But because we are weak and cannot handle davening too much, we have decided to skip them and stop saying them. Okay? Unless you are of Yeki descent, you probably don't say these at any time. Now, there's different types of piyutim. There are yotzros that come at the beginning of Birchas Kriyat Shema, when we say Yotzer Ovarech Hoshech, and those are called yotzros, because it's Yotzer Ovarech Hoshech. There are piyutim that are said, that are called ofan, because you say them when we recite Vofanim V'chayos HaKodesh. So those are called piyutim of ofan, because it appears at that place. There are piyutim which are called zulas, which are said after Ein Lanu Od Elokim Zulasecha. Each, if you look in the Old Siddurim, each one is labeled in its own location. And nowadays, like I said, we don't say any of these piyutim, but we call all of these piyutim, and even the ones that are recited during Shemoneh Esrei, yotzros, because of the original name that was used. Now, in older Siddurim, this ma'ora, this type of piyutim is called a ma'ora because it appears in the section of Hamer La'aretz, is printed, and it was definitely said by the Marasha, because the Marasha is saying it. In the Marasha's day, everybody said this stuff. Now, the only place it's printed is in this book that I have in front of me. The Otzer HaTfilos, in the second volume, page 300, is the only place where it's printed in full. And here, it says that it's called the Ma'ora L'Shabbos Chanukah L'Parshas Ba'aloscha, and it says, begins as follows. Asher yatsar or vatsar v'ner orchim l'chal l'fanai. B'nei yitzar v'lecha yitzar halo mimcha mor einai, that you enlighten my eyes. Gavul shemesh l'cha yishamesh, ma yafu l'cha shmani. Devarcha or ma ma'or, it's a lot of reference to light. Asher achu l'cha kohani. And then here comes the main line where he says, Umi ya'ir l'cha me'ir v'yatzah neri Hashem. Who lightens? you lighten, and you are my light God. Now that chorus repeats itself again and again throughout the Piyut, through this whole section over here. It repeats itself again. And that is in fact what the Maharsha is referring to when he's saying over here. The Piyut is about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires that we light the menorah. That's why it's also the Piyut for Parshas Baalos, which talks about the menorah. Does Hashem need our light? No. So therefore, what do we say? We can light before Hashem. We can't light anything before Hashem. He's the mayor. He is the one who brings light to the world, right? And the light of everything is Hashem, and He is my light. He is my mayor. So again, the Maharsha says that's what Rabbi Meir means. Elka de Meir, the God who brings light to the world, he should ask me now. You see this whole piyut over here? I just want to tell you one of my favorite stories. See this whole piyut over here? It's pretty complex. It's pretty dense. So Rav Moshe Tzvi Neiria, the Talmud of Rav Kook, records that Rav Kook once told him that he was once visiting Shabbos on the second Shabbos Chanukah. Now, the second Shabbos Chanukah does not come around that often. It's rare. And he was once in Vilna that Shabbos. And he went to daven the shul of Vilna. And in shul, they were saying this piyut in the Vilna shul at that time. He was davening next to one of the most well-known Talmidei Chacham of the time, the Yafei Naim. The Yafei Naim has a commentary in the back of the Vilna Shas. Tremendous tzaddik, tremendous gum. So they got up to this point in davening, and they saw they were saying this piyut of Asher Yotzer or of Itzar, this whole piyut that's said on the second day of Chanukah Shabbos, the second Chanukah Shabbos, and sort of Cook is standing next to the Yafei Naim, and they both start looking around for Sidurim that have it, because they don't know it, and nobody knows this by heart. You say it, maybe once, every 4 or 5 years. And they're looking around, and they can't find a sitter. So what ends up happening? Rav Kook doesn't say the piyut, because he doesn't have a sitter. And the Yafei Einayim said the entire piyut by heart. The entire piyut by heart. And like you were saying, Ashrei. Keep in mind, it's not something you say every year, something you say every 5 years, every 4 or 5 years. And he said it by heart. So these are talking about, the type of people that lived before the Holocaust. These are the type of people that, were Rabbanim and Torah leaders at that time. So a proof of the Maharsha, I think, is the Gemara in Erevin. Look at the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Yud Gimel. Tana lo Rabbi Meir Shmo. Rabbi Meir's name wasn't actually Meir. Do we know that? It wasn't actually Meir. El Rabbi Nehorai. Really, his name was Nehorai Shmo. V'lama Nikra Shmo Rabbi Meir. Why is he called Rabbi Meir? He enlightened the eyes of the Chachamim with his halacha. So that would make sense, right? Because if his name was actually Meir, he wouldn't say Elka de Meir Aneni, he would say Elka de Nehorai Aneni. The fact that he is not using his real name indicates that he doesn't mean him. He means that it is a representation of Hashem who lights up the world. The Meir Mod LeKochai Rechaim Pelagi happens to say as well that the minhag to donate to the Kupas Rabbi Meir Balanes is during Chanukah. So we're going to come back to that connection to Chanukah in a moment. Now, what we just argued so far is that Meir does not mean Rabbi Meir himself, the Tana, but rather Meir means Hashem. Now we're now going to argue in the other direction. Okay? We're now going to argue in the other direction. In the Gilyon Hashas, on the Gemara, today, there was a major auction there to sell for Judaica. And the Gnazim auction house auctioned off like 200 different things. I was watching a little bit live in the afternoon. They auctioned off the personal Gemara of Rabbi Akiva Eger, who wrote the Gilyon Hashas, his Gemara Masachas Megillah, and it went for $160,000. Okay? Somebody is now the owner of the exact same Gemara that Rabbi Akiva Eger wrote these comments. Not the exact comments, but the same comments that are printed in the Gemara, these exact comments, the same things. Somebody's now the owner of that for not a small amount of money. So, in the Gilyon Hashas in our Gemara, Rabbi Akiva Eger says, go look in the comments of the Ramah Mipano, Rav Azariah Mipano, the great Kabbalist, and the Sefer Esther Mamaros, who understands that we're asking to have the same zechus as Rabbi Meir, as if he was thinking about the shemos and the kavanos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. And the Chidasites, the Birka Yosef, who says that when people say Elka de Meir, Aneni, the God of Meir should answer me, they mean that we should be answered, or see Yeshua, as if I had all the Kabbalistic intentions of Rabbi Meir. What we're saying is, I can't do that, but Rabbi Meir can. So Hashem, view it as if I have all those special things going on in my head, as if Rabbi Meir was saying it. That's approach number one. For this reason, people say not to rely on it too often, because it's a lot of Kabbalah, and it's going to be spooky, but that's approach number one, that it is Rabbi Meir. Approach number two is a beautiful pshat from Rav Yaakov Shaltiel Ninov, who is a Rav in Tveria. And he writes in his Sefer Emes LeYaakov, Marechas Reish, and he cites a Gemara in Bava Basra and Daf Yud. The Gemara in Bava Basra and Daf Yud has a conversation between Tertius Rufus, the terrible Russia, the Roman governor who is a terrible Russia, and Rabbi Akiva. And Tertius Rufus asked Rabbi Akiva, why would Hashem make people poor if he loves us? Why would Hashem do that? To what purpose would Hashem do that if he loves his children? And he explained his question with a mashal. Because really what he wants to get at is exactly is, if somebody is poor, it must mean that Hashem is punishing them. And if you give them tzedakah, then you're really going against the Ratzon Hashem. That's his point for Rabbi Akiva, right? Clearly Hashem wanted them to be poor. You're giving them tzedakah. You're going against the Ratzon Hashem. So he says, let me give you a mashal, Rabbi Akiva. He says, if the king is upset at his son, a king is upset at his servant, and he takes the servant, he throws him in jail, and he says, no one should give him anything to eat or drink. And a guy feels bad for this guy in jail, and he goes and he gives him something to eat or drink. So wouldn't the king be furious? I told you not to help him out, and you went and you helped him out. A chutzpah! How could you go do such a thing? He's going to be furious at you for doing that type of what you think is a chesed. So that's the same thing over here. Hashem said this person should be punished, and you're going to go and help him out. That's against the rest of Hashem. So Rabbi Akiva said back to Tertius Rufus, no, 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 your mashal is wrong. He says the mashal should be, what if the son of the king does something wrong? And the son of the king, the prince, is thrown in jail. And the king says, I don't want to look at him, I don't want to talk to him, I want nothing to do with him, don't help him, don't support him. And a guy comes and says, this is the prince, this is the son of the king, how could this possibly be? This is not appropriate. And he goes and he gives him something to eat and something to drink, and he makes him feel better. Will the king be furious? No. The king will never, ever be furious that you're helping out his son. The king will never, ever be furious that you're helping out his children. It would never upset him at all. And says Rabbi Akiva to Tertius Rufus, Banim atam Hashem alokeichem. We are not avadim of Hashem. We're banim Hashem. We're Hashem's children. And certainly, if Hashem gives somebody a difficult situation in life, and you go out and help your brother, that's going to make Hashem happy, that you're going to lift him up. Because it's not just the Eved Hashem. It's the son of Hashem, it's the daughter of Hashem who's in need. And certainly we're going to go and help them out. So that is what Rabbi Akiva tells him. Now, the debate regarding the status of Bnei Yisrael, are they Banim Hashem or Avadim Hashem? Are they servants or are they children of Hashem? Is really a Gemara in Kedush and Daf Lamed Vav, which records a discussion to two Tanayim. Who are the two Tanayim? Rabbi Yehuda and, guess? Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir have a machlokas about this. When are we referred to as Banim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Rabbi Yehuda says, it's only when we are doing Ritzono Shel Makom. We are only considered Banim Hashem, Hashem's children, when we're doing the will of Hashem. But when we're wrong, and we're bad, and we don't do what we're supposed to do, we are not called Banim Hashem. We are not considered the sons of Hashem. However, Rabbi Meir says that we are always the Banim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are always Hashem's children. No matter how badly you act, no matter how far you weigh, no matter how distant you feel, you are always the child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now we have a machlokas here, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir. Generally, in a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, the halacha is we follow Rabbi Yehuda over Rabbi Meir. However, the Rashba in two Tshuvas in Chelek Aleph and Chelek Beis is discussing the issue of the kever of a mummar, the kever of a Jew who goes off the derech carries tumah. Is it metame? And the Rashba says 100%. And he explains that even though generally we say halachic Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, in this case, the halacha follows Rabbi Meir. Why? Because Rabbi Meir brings greater support from the psukim to buttress and to raise his point, his opinion, based on what he wants to argue. And therefore, says the Tshuvas HaRashba, we paskin like Rabbi Meir. the halacha in this world and in that world is that we are banim Hashem, we are Hashem's children, no matter what we do. You can't run away, and you can't escape, and you can, nothing you can do is ever going to tell, is to make Hashem say that He doesn't love you, and He doesn't want to take care of you, and He doesn't want to hold you, and walk you in the most difficult situations. And therefore, when we give tzedakah for the zechus of Rabbi Meir, we are invoking Rabbi Meir. What are we saying? We're saying that we are banim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, regardless if we deserve it or not. Hashem, I don't care whether it's as small as I lost my car keys, Elka to Rabbi Meir Aneni. Hashem, the God of Rabbi Meir, remember, banim Hashem, I'm your son, Hashem, I'm your daughter. I deserve a special zechus. I deserve to be treated in a way that you love me and you'll help me out. Even if I haven't been doing all the right things. And if it's more extreme, a person needs a Yeshua, a Refuah, a Parnasa, whatever it may be, a relationship fix, whatever it's going to be for that person, to say El Kadr Rabbi Meir Aneni means Hashem, the God of Rabbi Meir, the Tana Rabbi Meir, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda, remember, Banim Atem Hashem Elokeichem, we're your children. And nothing that we're going to do is ever going to change. And therefore, the mitzvah of tzedakah is always good for a Jew, because the Jewish people are Banim Hashem. Similarly, the Chibina Rav, in his Dovei Meisharm and Chelek Dalet, gives another reason why we invoke the Suchas of Rabbi Meir, but the same idea. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Zayin deals with the question of whether tshuva can remove a gzar din that is bad after it's been decided in Shemayim, and whether it's different for a yachid or a tzibur. And Rabbi Meir says that tshuva is mevateles. A gzar din can remove a bad gzera against an individual, and the Sadla Halacha by the Ritva. And therefore, again, the same idea, we invoke the opinion of Rabbi Meir that is mercy, that we are Hashem's children. So what's the connection to Hanukkah? So what does that have to do with Hanukkah? Rabbi Meir says, Banim Hashem Hashem Okechem. The Maharsha says, El Kadamei Raneni is talking about Hanukkah. And the Rechaim Palaji says, we give money to Rabbi Berenes on Hanukkah. So what? What does that have to do with Hanukkah? So in Alan Nisim, we use a very particular language. Twice we say, Ba'achar kach bo banecha l'dvir beisecha. Your children came into the Beis HaMikdash to clear it up. B'nei Bina Yemei Shmona Kavushar Nam. Your children of understanding. B'nei Bina. Twice in Alan Nisim refer to the Jewish people as Banim, as Hashem's children. Why do we highlight this? Because on Hanukkah, we stress and we remind ourselves we are a Banim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that Hashem can go above and beyond for us because we're His children. But in order for that to work, you have to believe it. You have to believe that you're Banim Hashem Elokeichem. If you don't really believe it, and you think Hashem is far away, and Hashem is not interested in you individually, then it's not going to work. You have to really believe and sincerely feel that you are a child of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that Hashem intimately and deeply cares about you and your personal goings-on in your life. You must feel that, or it's not going to be effective. This is the difference between Klal Yisrael, or the fight between Klal Yisrael and Yavan. The Navi Zechariah says in Perek Tes that the children of Tzion, the Bnei Tzion, are going to come up against the children of Yavan. And many, many contemporary Baal Machshava, I saw Rav Asher Weiss in the Minchas Asher Lema'adim, Rav Yucham Olshin in the Yerach Lema'adim as well, Rav David Kohn of Hebron writes in his Yimei Chanukah, they all see the idea which is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has set up that Yavan and Bnei Yisrael are fighting over one thing. And they all point out that Yavan wanted to rob Bnei Yisrael of that title of being Banim L'Makom. Yavan came into Israel saying, no, you think that you are the number one? No, we are. We are going to represent the world. We're going to be a world power. We're going to shine our light throughout the world. The Torah, the Jewish people have nothing to offer. We are Hashem's children. We are not, obviously, in the sense of Hashem, but we are the chosen people who are going to light the way for the rest of the world. We are the exclusive relationship with Hashem. And because of the spiritual downfall of the Misyavnim and the lure of Greek culture and philosophy, we were indeed in danger of losing this title of Banim Hashem. And it was the Chashmonaim who restored it when they came to the Beis HaMikdash through their Mesiras Nefesh. And the events of Hanukkah are a reinforcement that we and no one else are Banim Hashem Elokeichem. Only we are. That is a, not the, no one will say that only one thing is the message, but this is a message of Hanukkah, to remind ourselves that you are Banim Hashem, that we represent the Jewish people, we represent what proper values are, our hashkafas and our view and our Torah perspective are the proper way to go about things. And that's what it means, Baruch Hashem. Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zeichat Zalak Levracha, notes that the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Chiba Yaseira Nodas Lahem Shinikru Banim Lamakom. We have a special love that we are called Banim Lashem, we are called Hashem's children. And what's that thing that we have a special that makes us special? So Rav Moshe Shapiro says, it's the Torah. The Torah is what is that special sign between us and Hashem. So why does that make us Badim as opposed to Avadim or subjects of a Kadosh Baruch Hu? So Rav Moshe Shapiro says that a servant, an Eved, follows a command. But when it comes to children, we don't want that our children should simply follow commands. That's not a healthy relationship. Nobody wants that their children should go up and when the parents say jump, the children say how high. That's not what we want, that the children should follow every single word and be mindless zombies who don't know how to think for themselves. Parents want that the children should grow up and they want them to pursue and follow in the parents' values because the children will believe those values to be important, that the children will buy in to what the important values is that the parents want. And when we fulfill mitzvos, we become partners with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in his mission to bring ruchnius into this world, spirituality, and to make the world a better place. And by using and following the Torah, we become his banim because we buy in. We follow in the footsteps. Just like a child who lives up to and follows in the path of the parents and sees a value that is important and the child wants to pursue that value as well, that creates that parent-child relationship. That's that banim because they're following in their footsteps. So we also follow in the footsteps, so to speak, of our father, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by taking upon that mantle, learning Torah, spreading Torah, developing emunah, tefillah, things like that. And the story of Hanukkah, we are partnered with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, in bringing ruchnius to this world and light where there is darkness. And being bent to a Kadosh Baruch Hu means seeing ourselves as part of that mission and buying into what our Father wants us to do and what's important to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it's not just enough to say Banim. We have to use that mandate to build ourselves up, to make the world a better place. We can't simply walk around like a spoiled child who says, oh, you know who my daddy is? I can do whatever I want. That's not helpful. Just to be called Banim and not do anything with it, it's very nice, right? Hashem will love you no matter what, but now do something with it. Improve upon it, build with it, make the world a better place, make your life a better place, make your friends' worlds a better place, in the path of Banim Hashem L'makom, Banim Hashem L'keichem L'makom, there are children of Hashem. And this, I think, just to put it all together, I think makes a lot of sense. Rabbi Meir, we understand the nace, the miracle that Rabbi Meir did. We understand there's two possibilities, what it means, El Kedaber Aneini. Either refers to Hashem, who brought light to the world, and as the Maharsha says, specifically through the light of Hanukkah. And then on top of that, either refers to Rabbi Meir himself, Rabbi Meir who understood and perfected the idea that we're Hashem's children, and to take that message and connect it to Hanukkah, where we highlighted the difference between us and the Yevanim, and to take that bracha and that blessing from Hashem, and to use it to our advantage to bring light and spirituality and caring throughout the world. Okay.